life starts to rain, I can hold on tight when it feels like you're falling. I can breadcrumb the path when you've lost your way. I can make you laugh when the whole world is crying. I can build you up when you're broken in shame. But if all that we do is absent of Jesus, then this so-called love is completely in vain.
Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
Alleluia. Praise the Lord. Glory be to his name. You're listening to Radio Redemption and Power. We are a South Florida radio program that preaches the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight we continue our study in the book of 1 Timothy. If you have not been tuning in, we invite you to visit us at our webpage, redemptionandpower.com, where you can have access to all of our past podcasts, as well as our live radio feed, where you can listen to 24/7. You can also visit us at our Facebook page, or on iTunes, where you can also have access to all of our recordings. We invite you to write to us at redemptionandpower@gmail.com, or you can contact us at 305-320-7727. Feel free to send us your prayer requests. We're always happy to listen to our listeners, to pray with you, to counsel you, to minister to you, whatever it be that the Lord have us do. We thank you for being part of this ministry, for listening to us, for downloading our podcast. We hope that they are blessing you. And let us know where you're listening from, whether it be on the radio or online. Just send us a quick email, a quick message letting us know that you are being blessed by the program. And also, Brother Lewis has his radio program every Tuesday where you can listen to on redemptionandpower.com. Or if you have a tune-in radio, you could download the tune-in radio app and just look for Radio Redemption and Power. Or you can also listen to the live feed. We also have our app available for iTunes, for Apple and Android. So you can have access to all of our programs at your convenience, at the touch of your phone. Brother Lewis, would you kindly lead us in prayer tonight?
Amen. Father God, tonight we want to thank you, Lord, for everything you are doing and have done in us and through us. Father, we pray for your people tonight that they may get edified, Father, with your word, Father. Father, tonight we speak, Father, over them, Father, and I ask you, Father, to open up their ears and, Father, make them receptive to your word, and Father, bring change and deliverance into their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Once again, you're listening to Radio Redemption and Power. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Tonight we continue on the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5. We've been seeing that the book of 1 Timothy touches on such a wide array of subjects. It was a letter that was written to an individual, to a young Timothy, who was a pastor, a young pastor, just starting out. And he was called to go minister to the church of Ephesus, a church that was filled with much immorality, great amount of idolatry, which the Bible shows us and teaches us that is demonic. the worship of idols, that those that worship idols are not really worshiping statues, but the spirits behind them, which the scriptures show us are demons. And this was the place where this pastor was called to minister. It was a very wicked place. And that's why we see that this letter touches on so many different subjects. It touches first and foremost on the importance of remaining on the true doctrine, on the truth that was passed on to him. We see how Timothy receives instructions as how to organize the church and how the church should be led, how to the qualifications of elders, of those that have different positions in the church, and a strong exhortation of the last days of deception and how he should govern his life, which is something that is so important because the devil is always going to go after the leaders. Because if he gets the leaders, then he will also destroy those or get to those that are under him. And it's not only true in the church, but it's also true in the family. The devil always wants to destroy the family by attacking the marriage, by attacking the father and attacking the mother. And when he destroys this institution, then he goes towards the children. And the same thing we see is in the church. He goes after the elders. He goes after those that are in a position of leadership. Jesus Christ says on the night that he was going to be betrayed, it says that they would strike the shepherd and the sheep would be scattered. And that's one of the tactics that the enemy uses. He goes towards the head. And that's why there's such a strong emphasis on testimony, on fleeing the love of money, on fleeing immorality in the book of 1 Timothy. And this is especially true in these days that we live in these days where there's not only worship of idols, but the very worship of Lucifer himself in our society, which venerates every desire that goes against God. That means that we have to have a greater amount of holiness in our lives and even those that lived in these times, because the Bible shows us that in the last days, this man that will come to rule will be a man that would have the very power of the devil. And we need this greater grace and strength to maintain ourselves pure. How many pastors and leaders have we not seen recently that fall into immorality, that have fallen into covetousness and the love of money? These are real dangers that the only way we are able to overcome them is that we walk and we abide in Jesus Christ daily as he gives us victory over sin. And the name Timothy means one who honors God. And the question is, do you honor God? Do I honor God? And we show that not in the things that we profess with our mouths, but the things that we profess through our actions and through our daily life. Because worship is not only a song that you sing. It's not only the words that you use, but it is the manner that you present your life to God. That is true worship. And if we want to be true worshipers, then we must be willing to give God everything. All that we are. The Bible shows us that we need to love God with our hearts, minds, soul, and strength. That is, all of our existence should be given over to God. Tonight we begin in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Last week we finished chapter 4, where we saw the importance of keeping watch over your life, giving attention to your life and to the things you do, making sure you don't contaminate yourself with the world. And let's see what the Lord has set aside for us today in 1 Timothy chapter 5. And the very first verse says, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father, younger men as brothers." The very first fundamental principle that we are seeing here in the scripture is the respect for everyone. There is no discrimination in the church of Jesus Christ as we see in the world. The world treats you differently depending on what race you are, depending on what nationality, depending on what social class, depending on what age group. We do not see that in the scriptures. The Bible says that we are not to make an exception. We are not to make exceptions of persons. We are not to hold others higher in higher esteem than other people. The scripture says that we hold all other people higher than ourselves. We are to respect all individuals. And here we see that the very first respect comes towards an older man. And he says, do not rebuke an older man. One of the issues that we see in this generation is a total lack of respect towards the elderly, towards those who are greater in age, greater in experience. Yet we see in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the Bible says that you are to stand before the gray head. You are to show reverence and respect for those that are older. And the New Testament takes it to another level in that we respect all men, and especially those that are older, especially those who have greater experience. We see that this generation has an ill respect towards their parents and towards the elderly. How many older people are in homes? They're neglected. They're not treated well. They're screamed at. They're treated like children. And the Bible shows us that God hates that. When we read about that verse about rising and giving respect to the gray head, the Lord says something very important. And I want to go ahead and share that verse with you. In Leviticus 19:32, the scripture says, thou shalt rise before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God, I am the Lord. And another version says, you shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man and you shall fear your God, I am the Lord. We see that God says something very important in this verse. First, he says that you should stand, you should show respect and reverence for the gray head, for the older man. And then he connects it and he says, you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. He makes a connection here with giving respect to the elderly man, to the fear of God. In other words, we show our fear of God by respecting those that are older. And not only those that are older, but all men, as we see in the New Testament. And what's wrong with our society, it's not that they don't have reverence for old men. It's not that they don't have reverence for their parents, for their brothers and sisters. It's that they don't have fear of God. What is lacking in the churches today is the fear of God. And the reason why our society has been so dumbed down, has become so stupid, is because there is no fear of God. The Bible shows us that wisdom, the beginning of wisdom, is the fear of God. So the reason why our society has become the way it is, the reason why there's such a confusion between whether you're a male or a female, as if your anatomy doesn't clearly show you what you are, is because we do not have fear of God. And it shows in our respect to the fellow man. And what's sad is that these behaviors are not only seen in the world, but they're seen in the churches. We're not considerate of those that are older. Perhaps they're slower. Perhaps they're a little bit more stubborn. And this is something that I myself struggle with. We have to show the fear of God in this respect to others. In fact, I was just having a conversation with Brother Lewis with regard this, and sometimes I forget that Brother Lewis is an older man. And oftentimes the Lord has to correct me and I have to humble myself in some of the issues that we discuss, but it's part of being a godly person. Because to the Christian, it's not just about relationships. It's not just about the things that we do, but the Bible shows us that everything branches out from our relationship with God. The way we handle our money, the way we view entertainment, the way we make our decisions, everything stems out from our relationship with God. And one of the mistakes that we can do as Christians is separate things that are Christian and for example, the separation that is often most common is ministry and then secular work. But the truth is that they're both coincide with each other. When we're out working, we're still doing ministry because God has placed us in a specific location, not just to work and earn our money, but to be there and be a testimony of Jesus Christ. Therefore, everything that we do for the glory of God, and we do it to the best of our ability. And here, Paul is exhorting Timothy, especially in that time where there was such a great respect for the older man. If you were a patriarch, you were the first one to eat. You were the first one that was served. However, we see that that has been twisted in this day and age. Now it's all about the children. Now the children are the ones that run the things in the house instead of giving the honor to the father and the mother. And it is destroying and deteriorating our society.
I want to take a look at the scripture that Brother Javer just spoke about. And when we look at what Paul here is talking to Timothy, he's talking about the work of a minister. And perhaps you say, Brother Lewis, what does this mean? Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father, and treat younger men as your brothers, older women as your mother, and younger women as your sister, with absolute purity. Well, this has to do with the development of a leader. You know, one thing that occurs when you're a leader is that, you know, you're going to deal with different people, many which you might not like what they say. And you have to be able to know how to speak to people without disrespecting them or saying something to them that you, instead of bringing them to God, you're going to lure them away. And I just want to read what the dictionary says about the word exhort. And it says to strongly encourage or urge someone to do something. In other words, for an example, when you have somebody that says, I don't want to accept Jesus Christ, you know, you don't grab them by the neck and say, well, you have to accept Jesus Christ. If not, you're going to hell. You know, and this is something that I did when I was younger because I had not yet matured enough to know how to speak to people. And I think what this is talking about is the development of a minister of Christ. After that, I learned that, you know, you could win people to Christ without having to be harsh with them and tell them, well, if you don't come to Christ, you're going to hell, even though that the statement is true. And when people perhaps say something that you don't agree with, there's other ways to point things out rather than getting angry with that person and blotting out your opinions or your ideas. And perhaps the person can be wrong in what they're saying, but there are certain ways, words that we could use, which doesn't bring offense to others. And I think here in this particular verse, one of the things that Paul was teaching Timothy here is this type of maturity and the ways that we should talk to one another and exhort one another.
And it's definitely important what you said, Brother Lewis, because this godly character is not something that you learn. It's something that you develop. It's something where the Holy Spirit takes us to. And it's not something that you can learn out of a seminary. It's not something that you learn just by reading the Bible. It's something where the Holy Spirit has to work in you to be able to develop this type of self-control. Because one of the things the Bible speaks about is that one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is self-control. And that applies to the things that we say and how we say them. And oftentimes we think just by saying what is on our heart or our mind, even though we may be right or correct, is the right thing to do. But however, we see that when the scriptures exhort us to speak the truth, it doesn't just say speak the truth, it says speak the truth in love and to endeavor above all things to maintain unity in the spirit and the bond of peace. That shows us that sometimes it's best to overlook certain things, to overlook certain faults and issues that are really not a big deal, but that stem out from our own pride. Because when we look at our lives in our matrimony, our lives, our relationships with friends and brothers and sisters, usually what agitates or what brings out certain negative aspects about ourselves, it's not because they have something wrong, it's because there's something wrong with us, something wrong with our hearts, because we have pride in us that causes that person's fault to bring it out of us. And what happens is that when that comes out, it makes us feel very uncomfortable. But that's something that we have to bring to the foot of the cross so that Christ can remove that. And we have to be honest with God. And what happens is that sometimes we're filled more with zeal than we are with compassion and with love, and don't realize that it's more important to win the person's heart. You know, you were mentioning, Brother Lewis, how in your younger days you wouldn't care how people would react. You would just go and tell them the truth. But there's a special way and being able to communicate the truth. And we see that in the life of Jesus. Jesus was the greatest communicator. He had the ability to talk to all different types of people. He knew how to talk to sinners. He knew how to talk to children. He knew how to talk to religious people. He knew how to talk to Pharisees. He knew how to talk to people in high positions. He knew how to communicate with everyone, and the secret was the fear of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and love. Because that's what it comes down to. What is love? Love is sacrifice. Love is putting others before yourself. And what happens is when we are not abiding in Jesus, we're not abiding in love. When our minds stray away from the presence of God and the meditation of His Word, it's very easy for us to start to get irritated. And those are symptoms that there's something wrong, that there's something missing. Whenever we see that we're becoming agitated by other people around us, it's not that there's something wrong with those people that are around us. It's that there's something wrong with us. There's something wrong with me. Because those things have always been there. And the reason why they're now getting to us is because something that used to be in us is not there now. We've lost the influence of the Holy Spirit. But praise God, we're able to get it back if we so only humble ourselves before God and seek His presence. We are to respect all people, not only the elderly. Here we see, He says, and younger men as brothers. Just because they're the same age as us, or because others are in the same level with us, doesn't mean we have the right to speak to them with disrespect. We treat them as brothers. What is a brother? It is someone that has a very deep, close relationship that is not able to be separated or broken by disagreements, by different conflicts that may arise. Even though we see that today in families where there's deep conflicts within the family, and there's brothers and sisters that go on for a long period of time without speaking to each other because of unforgiveness. But it doesn't change the fact that they're still brothers and sisters. It doesn't change the fact that they come from the same mother and father. And though they have separated, and though God hates it, yet that relationship still remains. And Paul here is showing us of the deep relationship, that the deep respect that is required of those that are around us, especially if we're a leader. Because what happens is that when you have a position of leadership, it's very easy to feel isolated. It's very easy to begin to feel like if you're in a different level because of the authority and the responsibility that you have, but that is never to affect in the way that we treat people, in the way that we engage with others. And not forget that we are called to be servants. Not to be served, but to serve those that are around us.
Amen. Just want to look at a couple of scriptures here. The first one is found in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 19. And this is what the Bible says. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. Okay, let's stop there for a second. The first thing it tells us to do is to listen. We listen to what somebody's saying. The next step is to be slow to speak. In other words, this is requiring a time to understand how you're going to address that particular topic or that a particular person. And then it says, and slow to become angry. In other words, we shouldn't take things into our hands. We need to analyze things. You know, one of the things that being in a role of leadership that I've learned real quick is, you know, you think that because you're in a position of authority, when the other person perhaps doesn't agree or see in the type of view that you see things, well, you say, well, I am the boss, or I'm the leader, so I'm going to tell this guy the way it is, right? And usually what happens when, you know, you do that type of thing, what happens is it stirs up more anger, and it stirs up more hate, and it stirs where instead of you bringing that person that you could work together, it causes a conflict. And then disorder and destruction, that's how disorder and destruction comes to be. And I've learned a couple of things, right, throughout the year. And one of the years of dealing with these type of things, and one of the things that I've learned is time. And you say, what do you mean, Brother Lewis? Well, there's times when, you know, a situation has built up, and I have decided to just leave it alone for a while. You know, perhaps the first time you encountered a conflict is not the best time to confront it. I mean, perhaps waiting a little later and addressing it in a different way, the person will receive it better. Another thing that I've learned throughout the years is that when you deal with a serious situation or an argument, you address the person with love. If you address a person with hate or anger, you're going to have resistance. And another thing, especially with the older gentleman, you know, and this is something that a lot of the young guys don't understand. A lot of the old people think they know it all. And a lot of the young people too, but, you know, so because they've gone through certain things in their lives, they have a certain way of thinking. So one of the things that you have to be is patient with them. And usually it takes a little bit of time, but they kind of get it. And then I want to read another scripture to you, and that's found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, verse 29. And this is what the Word of God says. Whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly. So what do we got to do? We have to be patient. We have to be understanding with people. We have, at times, we have to let people vent their anger. Perhaps you're dealing with somebody that had problems at home, problems in their job, and they come to church with different feelings. And, you know, sometimes somebody might tell you, look, I just don't want to talk. and you got to give them their space. But if you insist in pushing yourself on the person, you know, it's just going to spark something that you won't want to be around. And as Christians, we need to know the time that we're able to be able to address certain issues with love.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And something very important, especially for Brother Lewis, because he deals in a leadership position, not only in the ministry, but also in his job. So these are definitely words that come with experience. Amen, Brother Lewis. Now, verse 2, Paul directs himself as how Timothy should deal with relationships with women. And this is something that's very important, especially Timothy, in that he was going to a church where there was false worship, but in many of those false religions and temples of idolatry, there was a lot of sexual immorality that happened. So this was something that was great among those nations in that day. And here he tells him in verse 2, he says, the elder women as mothers and the younger sisters and the younger as sisters in all purity. In all purity. So he says, how do you treat an older woman? You don't disrespect her. You don't say, well, this woman doesn't know anything. You treat her like a mother. How does a person treat their mother? In fact, in many circumstances, even the most rebellious criminals, at least as I have observed, even the most rebellious people often have a special affinity for their mother. And even though it doesn't reflect in the way they live, they have a certain respect for the mother. And we look at Jesus. While he was hanging on the cross, he had a concern for his earthly mother's welfare. He knew that there was a responsibility that he had towards his mother, and that even as he was dying on the cross, he was caring about her welfare. And this is the same type of attitude of welfare and dignity and respect that Paul is exhorting Timothy to have towards older women, not just older men. And here we see that Paul is extending to all relationships, whether it be with older men, younger men, older women, and younger women. And the next thing he says, it says, and the younger as sisters in all purity. To treat them as sisters, as one who you would not have any ulterior motive or impure thought or desire towards. And in fact, he emphasizes when he says with all purity. Because if there's some sin that will bring destruction to the life of a man in an instance, especially those that are involved in ministry, is sexual immorality, is fornication and adultery. This will destroy everything that God had built up in your life, in your marriage, in your ministry, in minutes. And this is a strong exhortation, not only telling young Timothy how he should have respect towards these individuals, but to be careful, to watch out, to be vigilant, to have a pure heart and a pure mind. And it begins now, not when we're in ministry, but now. We should be asking God to purify our hearts and minds, especially in this wicked world that we live in. As Christians, we need to live standards that are higher than the world. The world says it's okay for a man and a woman to be alone. The world says it's okay for a man and a woman to cohabitate. The world says it's okay for men and women to be in positions that would bring them into temptation. But no, that is not the way that a Christian should live. We should flee circumstances and situations that can be places where we can be tempted. We are to respect women and view them with pure thoughts, with pure motives, with pure desires. As sisters, and someone who we protect, as someone who we care for, as someone who we desire the best for, we must take heed to the relationships that we have. We cannot afford to be careless, brothers and sisters. If you were to be in a live battle, in a place where there is hostile territory, where there is opposing armies, there's bullets flying all over the place, you would not be casually strolling along when you know there was such a great opportunity to be hit by one of those projectiles. How much more in a war where the enemy that you face is invisible and you cannot always detect what is his trap that he is laying before you? How much more should we not be alert to the weapons and the tactics of the devil? A Christian must always walk in prayer and thanksgiving with his eyes set upon Jesus, who will guide him and give him discernment of what to do and what not to do.
Amen. Coming from a root of being a Latin person, I have learned the tendencies of Latin men mistreat their wives and women in general by certain status quo. For example, a woman is the one that needs to cook in the house, and they demand this. A woman is the one that needs to clean. And one of the things that I've been able to perceive is the way they mistreat a woman or women, like if they were lower class, lower individuals. And I think here, what Paul is teaching Timothy is that we need to have respect, not only for our wives, but for other ladies, the way we speak to them. We don't speak to them like if they were men. We need to speak to them with love. Even though at times they make mistakes, so do we. But the same way we want to receive respect from them, we have to give respect. Now here it talks about treating young woman as your sister. And Pastor Javer brought a good point. And this is something that's going on around the world. It's just not happening to certain people. It's something that happens around the world. And one of the things that older men look to younger women as sex objects. And what the whole frame of this thing is, if you were to look at your sister, would you see your sister in that way? Would you lust after your 12 and 13 year old sister as you do for somebody else's daughter? Friends, these are principles of the kingdom. If we cannot live and respect these principles, how can we minister in front of a congregation where we're going to have other people's daughters, other people's mothers, other people's fathers? If we can't show love and respect for them, how can somebody say that he represents God as a minister and inside is full of filth and has no respect for their brothers and their sisters in Christ? We have to demand change. And God demands change in us. He requires us to live holy lives. Listen, I know it's not easy. Every day you walk out the door, there's a temptation. But how do you overcome these temptations, friends? You got to fill the void in your mind with something else. If you fill it with God, then it's not going to be filled with trash. Why do you think that the Bible calls us to renew our minds? Whatever you feed your mind, it's what's going to come out of it. If you feed it good things, that's what's going to come out. If you feed it filth, that's what's going to come out. Because the mind is the central point or the central control center of your body. And this is what our brother is talking about here.
I believe the fundamental principle that Paul is establishing here is to not lead with what you believe you're entitled to, but lead by example, and that example is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ showed respect to all individuals, and even while he was being crucified, he was interceding for those very people that had placed him on the cross. And if we know that that's the path that Christ has called us to, which is the path of the cross, he doesn't just say, carry your cross so you can have an ornament and other people can see that you're carrying a cross. It's because you're going to be crucified on that cross. You're following Jesus with your cross because you're going to be crucified with him. And the way that Jesus left for us to follow in his footsteps is the very life that he lived. This is the life that he's calling us to. This is the life that we are Christians are born to live. We're born again, not just so that all our problems can go away. We're not born again so that we can say, yay, we're going to heaven. We're born again to grow up into the image of Christ. When a child is born into this world, you don't say, okay, well, we have a baby. Yay, it's done. No, that's when the work begins. To train up that child so that that child will be able to grow up and mature and to go on and establish his own life. And we as Christians are born again so that we can be made into the very image of Christ, so that all the world can see the glory of Jesus in our lives. And the way that we mature is through continually taking that path of self-denial, of humility, the path of the cross. In every situation, there will be two roads. The road of selfishness, self-exaltation, you name it. And then the other path is a path of self-denial. And every moment that we take that path of the cross, some part of us dies, but yet we grow and live more boldly the testimony of Jesus Christ. And that's going to be shown in our relationships. Part of the reason why God puts us with other people that are totally different, it's not just so that we can have variety. It's not just because we have different strengths and weaknesses that complement each other, but it's so that we may sanctify one another. Marriage is one of the greatest means of sanctification that God brings to a man and to a woman. Because what happens is, as two objects that have friction will eventually smooth each other out. That's why the Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. The same metal rubbing against the other metal, and they smooth each other out. They sharpen each other out. And our faults and weaknesses, and the faults and weaknesses in others, will cause you to see your own, so that we can bring them to God so that we can see them. Because here's the thing, we're always able to see easily other people's faults, but it's always very difficult for us to see our own. It's just like when you're playing a chess game or you're observing someone that's playing a chess game, you can't see the moves because you're not the one playing the game. But when you're in there, when you're sitting down, when you're the one that is moving the pieces, it's very difficult because you're concentrated on one specific area. So you have blind spots. And the same thing happens in our life and our personality. We can't see our own weaknesses, but friction with others causes that weakness to arise. And now we have two things we can do when that friction arises. We can either justify it and lose that opportunity to grow, or we can humble ourselves and let it be an opportunity for Christ to be glorified. Because the Bible says that God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. And many of us don't change because all we do is justify ourselves, why we did this, why we did that, why I said this, why I said that. And we never grow. People that justify themselves, they never grow. They're always in the same place because they just constantly blame others. Oh, well, it's because of him, because they do this and because they do that. You won't grow. You won't grow. We need to humble ourselves. Admit our mistakes, admit our faults. And God will give us grace to be able to overcome them. Glory be to his name.
Amen. Let's take a look at the completion of this, of what we just spoke about, Pastor Javer. And this is found in Matthew 27:54. And you spoke about being an example. And you spoke about Jesus not condemning the people who accused him and mistreated him and spit on him. And look how beautiful this scripture ends here. And it says, when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw that the earthquake and all that had happened. What was all that had happened? His crucifixions, the thing he said. When they saw that, this is what it says. It says, they were terrified and they exclaimed, surely he was the Son of God. That is a perfect example. That is a perfect example what Jesus did. He didn't fight them. He didn't rebuke them. He demonstrated it with love. He gave his life for them. And then when they saw that, that was a big picture that opened the eyes of those who hated him, those who put him on the cross. They said, surely he was the Son of God. Father God, tonight we want to thank you for this wonderful message. Father God, I pray that every single one of us can learn how to treat people with respect, even though that sometimes they might not agree with us, even though they mistreat us. And yes, even though that sometimes it will cost us our lives. But Father God, that they will learn to honor and respect our brothers and sisters as well as you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We thank you for listening to tonight's program. We hope it's been a blessing. I know it's been a huge blessing for me. And I hope that you will meditate on these words and that you realize how important it is, the relationships that we have with those who are older, with those that are younger, with those that are opposite sex. So we should take every opportunity to glorify the name of our Lord Jesus. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Remember, you can visit us on our webpage, redemptionandpower.com, as well as visit us on Facebook, on iTunes, or download the app for Radio Redemption and Power on either on the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store. May the Lord bless you.
Every day the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power. and the nation shall mourn at the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
Never leave.